Welcome to the Dave Mahoney Show. Got some good news and some bad news to fire things up today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, let's start today's show off with some bad news.
So, Audrey, have you ever been, be honest here, in a relationship over the course of your life where you've been a little insecure that your man was going to cheat on you?
100%.
Yeah. I think we've all been there before, right? But would you ever take it this far? There's a guy in his 40s who lives in southern Ukraine. Never been. Sure, it's lovely. He woke up recently to find bit of a surprise that his wife had locked a chastity belt on his junk while he was asleep.
Rational. Totally rational.
Say what?
Chastity belts?
That's normal.
These are the things from back in the medieval times that they used to primarily put on panties, right? Primarily put on women to keep them pure.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Barf.
She thought that he was going to cheat on her. And so in order to stop that, she thought chastity belt.
Normal.
Can you buy, I mean,
on eBay.
I don't want to Google that on my work computer.
Are they available on?
Yes, they are.
On Amazon?
They are readily available, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
How much are chastity belts?
I'd say they range anywhere from $35 to about like $200 for the really ornate ones.
Oh, so you can get a nice chastity belt for $200.
It's got to be a kink. Okay. Like, people buy those as a kink, right?
Get some spinners on that chastity belt.
Put some spinners on it.
Some spinners on it.
Throw some doves on it.
Put some hydraulics on it.
On each cheek.
So she thought the only way to stop him from having affairs was to put a chastity belt on him. He tried to reason with her and said, hey, can we take this off? And she said, we cannot. And so he had to go to the hospital, but the doctors couldn't remove it either. And so they wound up bringing in a security crew who used a circular saw to slice the thing off.
Oh, no. A chastity belt? Ugh, that's going to chafe my willy.
Fortunately for the guy, it was successful, and it looks like he is going to get back full use of his stuff, and he says that he is considering a divorce.
Considering?
Oh, just thinking about it.
He must have been passed out crazy drunk to get this thing slapped on.
Right?
First and foremost.
Yes, and must be a player, too, to be like, you know, I might have even deserved it a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not sure if this should call for divorce.
But I don't know.
You're probably right.
I don't know if I'm calling, like, a team, like, to get the jaws of life or a circular saw to cut this thing off. Like, why don't you call a locksmith? I mean, it kind of rhymes, too.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Have a couple of examples of where we are in 2020. One's some pretty good news, one's some not so great news. What do you want first there?
How about some bad news again?
All right.
Why not?
You seem to be choosing that first today. That's no problem.
So, you know, so you're ripping the Band-Aid off and then you're telling somebody they're inheriting a bunch of money or something.
So in 2020, we have arrived at the point where Vladimir Putin has just grabbed power for life.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, he proposed constitutional changes that would give him a scope to extend his grip on power after leaving the presidency. Picked a new prime minister, and his cabinet has stepped down. Most importantly, he suggested diminishing the powers of the presidency and beefing up those of the prime minister. So he basically made himself the prime minister and then said that there's no term limits on the prime minister, and so he is going to be in power forever in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So the dramatic move seen widely is preparing the ground for 2024 when Putin, who is now 67, is obliged to leave the presidency after occupying the Kremlin since 1999.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem so like old style cartoons where people just want to like go into like world power? Like, don't you just get tired? Like, can't you just
do you really need
you
more
might need
money?
To just go
like,
take a nap.
What are you like? Why are you so angry? Like, why do you want to try to take over everything? I mean, I get that there's that old primal urge to like go conquer and this and that, but I mean, like, everyone's got everything now. Like, you can't just go find land anymore. Like, just try to be a better person. Take care of others.
Help your people out.
Yeah.
And
instead of starving your people and
that's what I'm saying.
Milking all the money out of them so that way you can be considered a global leader. Like, who cares?
Another
loser.
It just seems so duh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, of course, it just seems like a movie.
It's like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
It's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom.
And more dumb. One of the interesting things, the entire government resigned.
Yes.
In Russia, they all pulled out. And on top of that, Putin, which everybody says Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world.
No.
Putin is. They say they estimate his worth to be anywhere close to $250 to $300 billion that he has pilfered from the people.
He stole
in
from
Russia,
his own people.
Go to an island. I hope they.
You know, there's a lot of people there.
Can't you just go buy an island next to Richard Branson and just
chill,
you know, like,
man,
just relax?
Yeah. I mean, maybe some relaxation might chill him out a little bit. Make him nicer.
Like, why is he so angry? Does he just have
tiniest junk on the world?
But even guys with small junk, trust me, you can still be happy.
At least 60, one point of the day.
Yeah, you're 67 years old. Yeah. You know? Well. So he is very upset. You know, and he, like I said, he's trying to take over the world for whatever reason.
Cool.
That's where we are in 2020. But we also have some good news about medical advancements. And in this case, you know, thousands of people in America are waiting for a liver transplant. But the big problem is that, you know, livers just don't, you know, they...
I can't give you my liver without dying, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and livers, even from donors, from, you know, whatever it may be, somebody that's passed or whatever, that's an organ donor, they only survive for 12 hours. So it means that, you know, there's just not a lot of time to figure things out if, you know, for some reason there is a liver available and somebody else needs it. Well, a team of engineers in Switzerland just unveiled a new machine they built that can keep a donated liver alive outside of the body for a week.
Ooh, that is amazing.
And when you think about going from 12 hours to a week, it is a game changer.
Absolutely.
So it means that there's potentially a lot more transplants that can take place, and it's mimicking things like circulation, blood filtering, body temperature, pumps oxygen-rich blood through the liver while filtering it with a dialysis machine. And it's groundbreaking in this way that it also takes livers that are already too old for transplant and can revive them.
That's crazy.
So they tried it on 10 livers that were deemed too old for transplant. And after a week in the machine, 6 of them fully functional again.
Wow. Whoever designed this. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Engineers in Switzerland, well done. Vladimir Putin, kick rocks. Also, Netflix, what are you doing, man? Like, everyone likes Netflix, right?
What are they doing now?
I like Hulu better.
They're accused of... I like Hulu, too. Personally,
I find myself watching Netflix more often. Maybe it's just out of habit, though.
Netflix Probably. Accused of funneling $430 million of international profits into tax havens.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
you know what's great? When you operate in a country and you refuse to, you know, take place in a society, all of us do our part. You know, to pay for the roads, the schools.
Every time that we go somewhere and fill up our gas tank or walk into a restaurant or buy a shirt or
anything
or work at our job, they automatically take our taxes out. We're paying taxes everywhere we go. But somehow there's $430 million of international profits and Netflix goes, let's just hide those from the government so we don't have to pay taxes on them.
People in America who are using our products and we're benefiting off of their livelihoods and infrastructure, we don't need to be given back to. Kids, screw them.
Schools, who needs schools?
Yeah. Why are
teachers,
all of these major companies just not getting the program that we're finding out everything you do? It might take us a month.
But there needs to be consequences.
Because there's no morality in corporations. That's the problem with it. Like, there's no personal responsibility. It's all about hitting a bonus, and so you don't care what you do to people's lives. You don't care about any of it because there is no moral compass saying, hey, this is maybe the wrong thing to do. It's kind of like Vladimir Putin stealing from his people constantly. Is it the wrong thing to do? Yes, but he doesn't care because he needs another $1 billion.
Let's be less like Netflix, less like Putin, more like those dudes over in Switzerland.
There you go.
That's the guys we should know.
And Nissan is recalling 346,000 vehicles worldwide to replace dangerous airbags that can explode and hurl shrapnel at the person behind the wheel.
Yeah, this is a thing that's been going on for many years. Those Takata airbags that were in a lot of cars years back.
I mean, this goes all the way back to 2001 Maximas,
But do you know what's going on with the head of Nissan?
He's
like an international fugitive. He snuck out of Japan in a Yamaha keyboard case.
Wait, did he really? I didn't know he snuck out of there to Yamaha.
They put him in when you see in bands.
Like a band when they're showing up
to
a concert.
Oh, my gosh. Who's the roadie responsible for smuggling it?
Coming up next on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
He just goes to some roadie. He's like, I'll give you a 6-pack of Bush Light and a half-used 8-ball of cocaine. Just please get me out of the country, man.
Also, that's pretty brilliant that he was small enough to fit in that.
No kidding, right?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, my sister's calling me dumb. And she wants to apologize for calling you a DB. But anyway, put some effort into it, dude. Bye.
Message deleted.
What?
Did someone drunk dial our voicemail and
call me a douchebag?
She sounded pretty
she
drunk.
She said that she's apologizing for calling you a DB, but... And then I think that if she backhandedly was like, but you know what? Put more effort into not being a DB. I don't really understand what that just was.
It's all about, you know, I don't get offended if somebody thinks I'm a douche or a douchebag. I know I'm an acquired taste. Whatever. Take it or leave it.
An acquired taste.
Making yourself sound like caviar over there. When really you're just a week old burger.
How dare you
McDonald's,
say.
They're preserved.
they'll still be good in a week. Promise you.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I was wondering, have you guys ever gone to work in your pajamas?
Message deleted.
No, because I'm going to work. What are you talking about? Don't go to work in your pajamas. Like, yeah. have some self-respect. Like, get ready for the day.
Like, I mean, I went through a phase with the tracksuits, but those were fine, like, Nike and Jordan tracksuits. Those were good-looking tracksuits.
And you curated one every day. You got ready with a sense of real preparation.
That's
like,
right.
You were getting set for the day.
I feel like I said, I began a trend, you know, because a lot of celebrities jumped on that that tracksuit bandwagon
sure
shortly thereafter.
Celebrities are one of your...
Burt Kreischer?
400 followers on social media.
I'm more than 400 followers.
Yeah. I've changed, like, out of one pair of leggings to put on another pair of leggings.
It's See? Just, if you're in a... even in a...
Getting ready for the day.
I am.
Even in a job like this where you don't see us, you know, most of the time, unless you're watching a video that we've done.
Right.
You know, like, we don't want to roll in here and look at each other and go like, oh, I know you haven't showered in 2 or 3 days and you're wearing, like, nasty sweatpants.
Right.
Like, that's pretty foul.
Yeah. Like, there's a level of, like, decency that we all try to uphold to a certain level. Yes, we know we're not good-looking people, but we're doing what we can with what we got.
Speak for
In
yourself.
So many ways.
Speak for yourself.
I am speaking for myself.
No.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So when I was a kid, I grew up with my dad, and he'd have the radio on, and he'd have David Mahoney on. And I was just a little kid, and I remember listening to it, and it was great. I liked them, actually. Man, you guys messed me up as a kid. I'll just put it like that. You suck, Mahoney.
Message
like
I
deleted. 40? I mean, we've been around for a while, but not that long,
what?
Right?
Yeah, we're not Amos and Andy. You know? It's like we're out of the 40s. We've been doing the show for like 11 years, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he thinking of Laurel and Hardy or something?
I mean, that is weird, though. I will say this, though. I do not like, you know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week, that I don't like the fact that we are kind of getting old, like looking at my 20-year class reunion photos and stuff. I'm just like, oh, my God, everybody looks so bad. And then you hear, like, if we're out around and, like, I've been listening to you since middle school and they're, like, 25 now. You're like, oh, God, this is.
That's pretty crazy. Seriously.
Yeah.
Now, we get that a decent amount. People are like, hey, well, you know, grown up listening to you. And I'm like, really?
That's kind of cool,
though. I mean, it's kind of cool. But then you're like, I've been doing the same thing for 11 years.
And like,
jeez.
We're not, and it's only kids. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, no adults find us funny. No.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Who's ready for another fart joke, huh?
Oh, yeah, we got those.
All right.
One's loaded.
Stop stories! Here's what's making news.
Audie, do you know what an incel is?
No.
So, an incel is being called an emerging domestic terrorist threat. And an incel is somebody who is basically what people used to just call losers, like guys who couldn't get a girl, but they're involuntarily celibate. So they can't get women to pay them attention. And so they become very angry and sometimes violent as a result. And now people are starting to identify them as the people that are primarily responsible for a lot of these domestic terrorist incidents.
There's a lot of it's related to, like I said, the hatred towards women, the hatred towards other races,
society,
just in general. Like,
because you can't blame yourself, right? So you have to figure out it's somebody else's fault. That's the reason why you can't get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can't succeed in your life or whatever it may be. It's pretty disgusting. And the problem is with the way that we're all connected online today, they find these echo chambers and they start talking to each other and they start feeling like this behavior is normal.
Yep. And it is not. A lot of it is, like you said, racially motivated, yeah, very gross. Anti-government, single issue, and it's very much about just sort of going down that wormhole of being more and more angry, and then eventually it sometimes leads, unfortunately, to some really awful stuff.
I hate to tell you guys, you're not the master race. You're really not.
So here's the answer to all of that, and it's a different study that has nothing to do with that last story. Just grow a beard. Women prefer guys with beards, as they're seen more dominant and attractive.
I love a good beard. Andrew, whenever he shaved not too long ago for no shave, what is it, November with his mustache? Or no, it's Movember, right,
yeah,
for guys?
Yeah.
He did that, and I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen your chin in 5 years. Grow it back.
Oh, so you don't like seeing his chin.
I love his beard.
You love the beard. Okay.
My wife doesn't like me when I'm like clean shaven either. Like it's just foreign to
Ian,
her.
Ian, can you grow a good beard?
Good beard? No. I just get nothing but scruff, and my girlfriend hates it because when we make out, it's too itchy.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely that point of it, but then it's got to go a little further.
I'm exfoliating.
How long have
you
guys been
exfoliating her face?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
your stubble.
Yeah. Oh, so that's good?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Nice.
How long have you guys been together?
6 years.
You guys still make out?
Yeah, man, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Audrey, do you make out with your husband?
Yeah.
We gotta keep the love alive.
Audrey, do you make out with your wife?
Nah, man. We don't. She doesn't
love it. I mean, it's not like an everyday thing.
Make out?
Definitely whenever we're drunk. Like, it's never just like
okay.
We do it in the middle of Target.
I guess.
You don't do it in the middle of Target.
No, I hate PDA.
I feel like making out is like when you're like first in a relationship.
These discounts are driving me crazy, baby.
You can't get enough of each other. Heavy petting.
Dave, we've elevated it. It's now about intimacy.
We're
classy. Different areas other than sexual.
We're elevated.
Yes, I understand.
We have transcended. Meaning that she doesn't want to kiss me.
There are other forms of intimacy, though, than just
certainly
making
there
out.
Are. Yeah. But yeah. You know, I mean, like my wife doesn't drink, so it's like there's, and she certainly doesn't want to make out with me when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
That does not, I don't blame her because I've seen me. I'm a hot mess.
What is it about making out that just stops? Like, why do we stop making out?
Yeah, why is the thrill gone, guys?
Like, watching people make out is kind of gross. Like when you're not doing it, like, if you're watching somebody else do it, like, you're just, like, sucking on somebody's face.
Yeah, but that's because they're weird and just dispassionate to me in my brain. But whenever you think
you're doing it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Beautiful,
yeah,
yes.
Right? But isn't
magical.
It bizarre? Like, what about that was so hot when we first started being together and then you lose it? That's so weird. I've never thought about it before. Because you definitely made out at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you just can't wait for an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
Well, I feel like also that's kind of a prelude to other things.
Right, yeah.
You know, and like
so maybe that's why it's so hot.
Well,
I'm going to do you.
Or you're crying or you're not there yet, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like now, you know, is what it is.
I'm going to ask my husband if he wants to make out tonight.
You're like, we've got 6 minutes to get this done. You think we can?
I want to be asleep before 8 p.m. tonight.
Our show's about to start. It's on Hulu. Just still.
By the way, I was going to say that the new Pope on HBO.
You loving it?
Crazy ass show.
Really?
Going from making out to popes.
Well, that's what we watched the other night.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Jude Law, did it put you in the mood?
Jude Law's jacked in it. Like,
I think he's
on steroids.
Really?
Like he is jacked. He is that jacked. Wow. He's such a just looks so creepy in it too.
Nick Cage Alert. It's Cage.
I just acquired 2 King Cobras.
Or Stage.
Bob is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Bob, thank you for being with us today. Of course, you are a big Nicolas Cage fan, correct?
Oh, yes.
How could you not be? Every good American is a fine. I mean, you have to watch Nicolas Cage's movies to really understand the history of our country and national treasure.
I mean, how many times?
Con Air.
We wouldn't have a democracy, had he not saved the Declaration of Independence.
Right. I wouldn't even know what Alcatraz was if it wasn't for The Rock. With him and Sean Connery.
You know, he has been in well over 100 movies.
Really?
Yeah, 100.
Did you just take any role?
Yes. That's fine.
In the later part.
So, Nicolas Cage not only has a vast collection of movies that he has been in over the years, but also a very strange life. And so, what your job today is to figure out if what I'm going to share with you are real moments from his life or if they are plot lines from one of his movies, okay?
Okay.
I've got five examples for you. If you get three out of the five, you're going to be the winner today, okay?
Sounds good.
First up, he was once paid to participate in a short and surreal commercial for a Japanese pinball company. Is that Cage or Stage?
That is Stage.
No, that is actually his real life.
Do we have some audio from that?
We do.
Oh, no. I'll be darned, too. What the heck is going on around here? I'm out here. Whoa. I don't understand. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Little girl, get her a hold out. Pachinko.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a brief explanation of that commercial. He was driving down a road and he got beat up by aliens that looked like little pinballs.
I see. All right. Yes. Well, that makes all the was sense
it,
in the world.
Was then. This from the 80s?
No, this is from the mid to late 90s.
Okay.
I'll be darn tootin'.
All right. So you didn't get that one right, but let's move on here to the next one. Again, trying to figure out if this is something from one of his movies or his real life. The next fact about Nicolas Cage, one of his earliest childhood memories is when he was 3 years old and lying on a bed with Italian nuns who made him drink Sambuca and fed him a stew made of fox meat.
Is that Cage or Stage?
I gotta go Stage. I know he's weird, but that sounds just too unbelievable.
You sure about that?
You sure about that?
Uh-huh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Nope. That is his real life as well. Sorry.
Really?
That's bizarre.
Oh, my goodness.
He was fed Sambuca and fox meat by
fox
nuns?
Fox meat by Italian nuns.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Italians.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You're right, not so doing very good.
Both those from his real life. Yeah. Let's go on to the next
so
one here.
Bizarre.
After getting sick from eating rotisserie chicken, he saved a piece of chocolate cake to help ease his stomach, only to find out that his wife had eaten it. This led to a romantic union on the stairs that had them both feeding each other that chocolate cake. Is that Cage or Stage?
Stage.
Stage is correct. Yes, you're on the board with one.
There we go.
There you go,
that
Bobby
is,
That is from The Family Man in 2000. And there's actually a fan-made song about this.
It's good.
Give me that cake.
Away.
So tell me, Nicolas Cage is headlining EDC next year?
Yes.
Please tell me that.
Oh, man, he is so weird. I love him so much. Okay, all right. So you're on the board here with one. We have two more to go. You must get the next two correct, okay? He once went on a live talk show and wound up giving the host his own shirt off of his back. Is that Cage or Stage?
Cage.
Correct, yes. Very nice. So here we go. Here's the audio from that moment.
You know what? This leather's really hot.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. No,
I got to tell you something. Mandy gave you a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to give me, you're going to give me your snakeskin jacket, aren't you?
No, I got to give you my Wild at Heart T-shirt.
The crowd goes wild.
I'll just put this jacket.
It's a big night for me, I can tell you.
All right, Bob. So you have made a nice comeback here. You've got two correct. You've got two incorrect. So it all comes down to this fifth and final one, okay?
Gotcha.
Despite how it sounds, he literally went number one time, and somehow fire came out. Is that Cage or Stage?
Cage.
What?
Fire.
Literal fire. Is that from his real life or from a movie? Cage or Stage, my friend?
Well, I'm
Bob.
We'll go Stage.
All right, yes, you got that, Bob.
What movie was that? I missed that one.
Whatever that fire hands one was.
Wait. What do you mean you missed it? You're spot on here. That is from that is from Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance in 2012.
That's one of my I've got so confused lately. I forgot.
Were you going to say that's one of your favorite movies? Let's have a listen. Let's have a listen to the scene.
Hey, what if you have to pee while you're on fire?
Oh, it's awesome. It's like a flamethrower. You know, it's like...
And that's him peeing fire.
How did we miss that movie?
I mean, they're bringing Ghost Rider back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Thank God. Please tell me it's Nicolas Cage. Please. Congratulations to you, Bob. You somehow managed to pull that one out.
Thank you very much, guys.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So a widow stole $400,000 from a New York Police Department widow's charity. She has been sentenced to 2 years in prison. She's a 69-year-old lady by the name of Lorraine. She stole the money from the Survivors of the Shield charity, which was formed in 1988 to help surviving spouses and children whose significant others have been killed in action.
2 years for $400,000. I feel like I've heard worse for, like, people who've been arrested for weed. Like, you just did something absolutely terrible.
$400,000, and you're taking money out of the pockets of people who have lost their significant other while they were in the line of duty. I mean, it's just horrific. She used it for important stuff, though, like concert tickets, shopping sprees, landscaping, taxis, and vacations.
These people have lost their loved ones.
Yes.
And you're taking vacations with the money you stole.
She apologized, though, saying that,
that makes it better.
She had no one to blame but herself. Yeah, no kidding, lady.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever get arrested, I want that judge, because that is...
Incredible. Way too lenient.
Way too lenient, yeah.
So a naked man wore only a face mask on the interstate. Quote, for the rush of it, Indiana police believe they may have finally nabbed the guy responsible for wearing nothing more than a face mask while standing alongside Interstate 94 on several occasions within the last several months. Okay, man, put it away. Jason Rouse, 43, of Wheatfield, was taken into custody Wednesday on a misdemeanor count of public nudity. Reportedly told Porter County Police that he appeared naked along the busy highway for the adrenaline rush. While searching the area, police spotted an SUV that matched one associated with the complaints. The vehicle was pulled over, and the driver initially claimed he was driving back the other direction, and then he changed his story, saying that he was out enjoying the warm day, and then told police that he was looking for dropped deer antlers. So that's interesting.
Okay.
Police said that they found a camouflage and orange-colored neck sleeve in the vehicle that matched the thing that this guy was wearing when he was reportedly naked on the side of the road. So he has been arrested and could potentially face a fine for it.
I would like to see, if you're just being a creep, standing on the highway, naked as a jaybird, I feel like everybody should get a free shot with a handful of change driving 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, just take a handful of nickels and just write your junk.
Maybe not silver.
You're right. Pennies.
Is this
nickels a bit much?
The modern day flasher.
Like, oh,
is
yeah.
this what this
yeah.
is?
Yeah. I feel like
flashing. Like a trench coat. But like
flashing and streaking has gone the way of the dodo, right?
For the most part.
Because, I mean, that used to be a thing that we would worry about when we were kids, right? Like, you'd be walking through the city and there'd just be some creep in a trench coat and he'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't do that anymore because everyone's just going to be like, ka-cheek, going to jail.
And then just laugh.
Yeah.
That's why this guy had a face mask on.
Yeah.
But I also feel like streaking has come to an end for the most part.
Because you used to be able to get away with it. I mean, even skinny dipping has I would imagine, I mean, maybe we're probably just too old for it.
I don't know. Yeah, also, I don't want to be in a lake naked. I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Especially at night when you can't see what's around you.
In a lake at night?
I don't want to be in a lake, period.
Yeah.
Like, dirty.
I had no problem as a kid getting into lakes. Now, I love as lakes, an adult, yeah. I'm like... If I can't see, if it's like a crystal, if you're like in Tahoe and it's crystal clear,
yeah.
But like if I'm in like Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, that's a muddy ass lake, and you can't see more than like a foot, no.
You catfish just feel comes nibbling on you.
You feel so vulnerable when you're sitting there treading water, and you're like, I have no response for anything that comes up, and I don't like surprises.
Nope. Fear of the unknown, hate it.
So a pantsless man tried to break into a couple's home through the doggy door. Police said the pantsless intruder in Fairfield, California, walked through the couple's backyard last Wednesday, tried to get inside the house through the doggy door, and the 83-year-old owner of the house, whose name is Fred Farrell, said, quote, my wife is very shaken up.
He dropped his drawers and mooned her.
Officers were able to get there quick. They were in there under 2 minutes, and then the officers tried to contact the individual, but he decided to run.
Somebody come in and drop their drawers and do what he did. They want him off the streets. He ought to be put in prison.
Yeah, well, it looks like that's where he's headed. Turns out this guy's a registered sex offender who had been wanted for violating his parole and had also cut off his GPS ankle device.
Wow.
He is arrested. His name is Leroy Vance of Fairfield, California, 48 years old. And they just say that they're grateful that he is back where he belongs, which is in jail.
The mind is so fragile. Like, what 48 grown-ass man is just like, you know what? I'm going to go moon somebody today. Let me go moon this 83-year-old couple.
Like, what does that do for anyone?
Nothing for anybody. I would have thought.
I would dare you to put your butt and your junk through my doggy door because I will straight up Macaulay Culkin your ass with a BB gun.
After Home Alone, like since 1991, we should all know that the doggy door is not how you break,
how you break into a house.
That's how you get shot in the giblets by a BB gun.
Poor Joe Pesci.
I know. He's never recovered.
So a teenager has been hauled in front of a court for slamming his bedroom door after his mom called the cops. The 17-year-old, who cannot be named for legal reasons, used such force that the knob fell off during an argument between the pair. Emma Thacker, defending, said her young client had a turbulent relationship with his mother. The boy made full admissions that when he was interviewed by police and pleaded guilty to criminal damage, which seems a little excessive. I don't know. If you're the mom, you're kind of like, I don't know if it's going to do a lot of good to get my son charged with criminal damage for slamming his door.
At 17 years old, I would be like, you know what? While we're at it, clearly I don't want this kid. That's what this seems like, right? Like, yeah. I don't want any responsibility for this child. Let's put him in jail.
Yeah. Also, hey, man, chill out on slamming the doors.
Yeah.
Like, my parents would have just taken him off the hinges.
Yeah, just straight up, just pop, pop.
I have had that happen before. Have your parents ever taken him off?
No. You had your door taken off the hinges?
Oh, yeah.
What were you doing
slamming
in there?
Slamming the doors.
You were slamming the doors, so they just took it off the hinges?
Yep. Well, but like, not in my house.
But I mean, what if you just found another door? Like, what if you just went to the bathroom and started slamming that one?
No, because it was always my bedroom door. I was just dramatic. Like, leave me alone. You don't get it. It's not a phase. Slam.
I'm going to be emo forever. Yes. I love My Chemical Romance.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty laundry.
Ian goes out onto the streets and he talks to people that most people would never speak with because sometimes they're down on their luck, other times they're a little bit crazy, many times they're under the influence, and I think that a couple of those boxes are checked today.
Indeed, Dave. Now, this particular woman I have heard about through the grapevine at the bar laundromat that I am a frequenter of. Mm-hmm. She is a little bit off the rails, but especially when she gets drunk, she likes to tell people about her life, and her life is filled with nothing but conspiracy theories. She believes she was born in the same imprint as Eminem, which means they are the same person, leading the same lives, just in two different directions. She had some kidney surgeries, and she believes the government put some little imprints in her kidneys, and now they're tracking her. Through those, she rubs her head with an iPad. She also has some gripes about Scientology, but overall, a very charming woman.
How old was she?
She was about 35. She looked just like Linda Perry from Four Non-Blondes.
Okay.
So very bohemian. Okay. So very bohemian. But also very eccentric and a really nice lady. I hung around with her for a while. It's just she has these opinions that are just a little out there. I think she might be an alien.
What's her name?
I don't want to give her name because the government may be listening.
Ah, good call.
Dirty Laundry.
All right, so we're here for Dirty Laundry, and I've met probably one of the most eccentric people. You're so bohemian.
I'm walking for people, darling. I'm walking. We're saving lives out here. We're saving lives.
And you also have the whitest teeth of anybody I've ever interviewed here, also.
That's because your truth is setting the plaque free. I haven't brushed it probably or washed my face, I don't know, really in a week.
You say you're an open book, so I may have to poke and prod here.
Okay.
Now, I originally saw you a little bit down the ways. You were dancing, and you were rubbing an iPad on your head?
I was rubbing an iPad on my head.
Why do you rub an iPad on your head? Is that for good luck, or...?
No, it's to get this static electricity off of me and all these people whose lives I've been collecting off the stock market, and I got gang-stalked, and where do we begin? I won't say the S word, but Tom Cruise should come out again.
Okay, you know what? I'll call Tom right after this, actually. I'm joking. I don't know his number anymore. He doesn't give it to me anymore.
Tom Cruise, this is... I'm here with a man who you need to know is going to call...
Why do you put on an English accent when you're talking to Tom Cruise?
Because Mr. Boot is going to do it. I was going through a bunch of kidney surgeries, and I think I've told enough people. It was a big mistake, and I woke up 8 hours later, and then I seemed to drag some little imprint of their information into me, and they were left at a binary zero.
So why don't you rub the iPad on, like, your kidney area, then? Why your head?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I do, because they're all antennas, according to...
Ah!
We're saving Eminem's life, because he is my exact imprint in this computer. Who would have guessed Every time I talk or dance, he's doing the same. We were kids when they caught us, the NSA.
Now, what is some advice that you could give to our audience?
Okay, right now, it's mandatory to stop thinking anything negative. Don't worry about anything. It's black or white. You live in the gray. You have to think only positive. Just be kind. At this point on, be kind. Ask what would happen. Don't deny yourself anything. It's a digital world. When people are pooping and people are growing from that poop and then they came back, what am I supposed to say? It's hysterical.
Watch out for the poop.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What is that noise?
She had a big gulp cup in her hand.
I knew it was a big gulp cup.
Was it really?
Yes, that was a big gulp cup.
Since it.
I love this right here.
May have to poke and prod here.
Okay.
The way that she...
You were rubbing an iPad on your head?
I was... I was...
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Well, this is important stuff. There is an ingestible pill that you can take, and then you can track your gas development in real time on your iPhone.
I kind of love this.
So a team of Australian researchers developed an ingestible electronic capsule to monitor gas levels in the human gut. When it's paired with a pocket-sized receiver and a mobile phone app, the pill reports tailwind conditions in real time as it passes from the stomach to the colon. So
this is perfect for 2020. Yeah. A lot of people have introduced vegetables into their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, sure.
Flatulence in the workplace is a real, real issue.
All right, just level with us, Audrey. Mm-hmm. What's going on, man? I know you've been meal prepping and stuff.
I'm telling you right now.
Are you a little gassier than normal?
The bathrooms at the start of 2020 have been insane. Not for me. But every time I go into the work bathroom, something is going on. It is just like bombs. Hiroshima in those toilets.
Sounds like the 4th of July.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Vegetables?
I know we're living in the future, and we've got a pill that can tell us when we're going to fart now. The real future... is when we can push a button on that app that causes us to.
Oh, yeah, like a real-life whoopee cushion.
On-demand fart? Yes. Yeah. That would be awesome.
So we all know that YouTube pranksters are the worst.
Pretty much, yeah.
YouTube prankster drove a car filled with water to a liquor store and bought beer during a heat wave in what appeared to be, he had to appear in an Australian court because you're not allowed to, you know, fill an entire car with water and then drive it around. 28-year-old, his name is Michael, he is operating a YouTube channel with his twin brother Danny, and they had to appear in court over several charges. This guy posted the video back in January of last year showing him driving a modified Ford Laser with his friend, whose name is Jackson. The two are wearing goggles and scuba diving regulators while driving the sedan during the heat wave. Because you know how funny it is when you're driving a car full of water.
Hilarious. Especially when your entire country's on fire. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this was posted, you know, a year ago. Right. So it was before all the fire started. But still, YouTube pranksters, the worst.
The worst.
The worst of the worst. Scum of the earth.
And I don't really think... that they, obviously, they're not thinking any of it through, but do they have any type of moral compass to begin with?
No.
Is this what the becomings of a sociopath is?
The only people who watch YouTube prank videos are, like, 8-year-olds.
Because they don't understand the consequence.
They don't understand the consequence. They just have no real perception of what's actually funny.
You just ruined the interior of a car for a video that you posted on YouTube.
Oh, I don't even care about ruining the interior of a car, but if you're driving around putting other people's lives in danger and you're going to go ruin somebody else's day, that's not a prank. That's
crime.
Right, yeah. Like the Logan Paul kid when he was walking through that suicide forest over in Japan and making fun of dead people. Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, nothing worse than somebody who's been driven to that point. Hilarious. Thanks, Logan.
So a rare Wisconsin cheese being sold for $209 a pound.
I'm in.
I know that you're a big fan of the charcuterie boards.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever pay? I mean, you'll pay a lot of money. I've seen you pay a lot of money for food before.
Yeah.
Cheese? Like, you love food, right?
I do. Food is probably where most of my expendable income goes.
Yeah, food. You'll pay up for a good whiskey from time to time, mm-hmm. but would you ever pay $209 for a pound of cheese?
No.
A pound? That's kind of a lot.
I like cheese. I think cheese is one of the best things that the world has ever been given. And been blessed upon us, but
shout out to cows.
Shout
what
out,
up.
Yep.
What up, cows in Wisconsin? Rare 20-year-old cheddar is what this is. Back in 2015, the owners sold their entire 450-pound stock in 2 days, $94,000 worth of cheddar cheese.
I mean, that's a lot of money, but you've been sitting on that cheese for 20 years. I don't know if that's worth it.
No, I mean, if you're going to be able to sell it for $94,000.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been sitting on that cheese for 20 years. I mean, you look at your returns year over year.
Well, but that wasn't the only block of it, right? So they've got another 500 pounds that they're going to sell on May 23rd, which is why we're hearing about this.
Because, how much is so it?
I mean, if you, 209 times 500.
On air math.
It's over $100,000.
$104,000,
yeah.
All right.
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Not going to spend $200 on a pound of literally anything.
You probably get tired of it.
Unless it's a pound of gold, and I'm getting a really good deal.
So a man has been missing for weeks in a known crocodile habitat, and he was actually found alive and well. A man has been found alive 3 weeks after going missing in a remote far north Queensland rainforest. He is a guy from Victoria down in Australia. He was located earlier this week in the Daintree Rainforest shortly after he was spotted by a passing motorcyclist. He told police that this guy that he saw was physically very disheveled and that he had been eating only berries to survive. However, the police would not confirm the 29-year-old had been at the center of the remarkable story of survival. Instead, the inspector said that he suspected the man had been avoiding search parties dispatched to find him.
Yeah, how do you go almost anywhere on Earth outside of, like, Siberian tundra or Antarctica or, like, the middle of the absolute desert somewhere and not be able to be found or not be able to, like, you're moving around for 3 weeks and not coming into contact with anyone?
Right.
Like, what would drive you to want to go to a place like that? I mean, I don't like people, but my I close my doors, I put on my headphones at home,
right,
and it feels great. I don't need to go out to the middle of some rainforest. That's
some people just find that, like, that innate, just like animalistic drive to go out and just be one with nature, like they're,
you get eaten
ancestors
by nature. Nature is a bitch.
Nature does not like you.
No,
like that's a beautiful part of society, is that for the most part, people look out for each other.
For the most part. Yeah,
I mean, for the most part. I mean, there's bad people out there, of course, but
by and large,
you see somebody as they're walking, you know, into a store and they trip and fall, there'll be a bunch of people that run over to try to help them up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, how funny was the fall?
Yeah, it depends.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
And how old they are. If they're young,
yeah, if they're young, you're like, yeah, hey, get up, yeah, rub some dirt on it. But, you know, if you fall down out in nature, something's like, oh, you look delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come eat you.
That's a nature charcuterie board right there.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
When was the last time something really got under your skin and it just set you off?
Message deleted.
Mahoney, over to you on this one.
I've actually contained my anger, for the most part, fairly well. I will say the last time I lost it and got my wife mad at me was when it was Christmas Eve, and we were pulling out of a Target, and it was at a four-way stop, and you know dummies do not know how to use four-way stops, and so it's my turn. I waited for everybody. I'm going, and another car decides to, like, try to go too, and then they honked at me.
Oh, boy. Is that when you started following them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then so I got behind them and then just laid on the horn. Just like, you know, where you just like lean in. Like if you're watching like an MMA fight where they just cross face somebody with their forearm and their elbow.
That was you on the horn?
On the horn.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then just
you really showed them.
Yeah. My wife didn't like that. I thought, I'm like, don't get crazy. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, you'll lose it, man.
That's right.
Melt down in a moment's
notice. Especially if I've been at a Target Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wanted to
be
there.
The last place you wanted to be,
yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
It would have been pretty great if you spent Christmas in jail.
I can't totally get your whole thing about the Ouija boards and opening a portal because I messed with it when I was young.
Message deleted.
What'd she say? Something about Ouija boards and opening portals, and she did it when she was young?
She said she agrees with you guys about Ouija boards. I don't know why.
Do we have a stance on Ouija boards?
I do. Ouija boards are garbage. Fake. Yes, they're nonsense. Ian thinks they're real, and he tries to open portals to the interdimensional.
Don't talk about my portals like that.
Yeah, don't talk about what you do on the weekends, Ian, with portals you're opening.
Close your portal, bro.
You don't come over to my apartment.
It's disgusting.
I walk around naked in my portal.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Oh, my God, I see the evil realm. Wait, no, that's just Ian naked.
Oh, he's bent over.
Shut your portal.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So low inventory is going to keep the Las Vegas housing market hot, according to an expert, especially with homes that are $350,000 or less. There's a real shortage of inventory of that type of house on the market. Beyond that, you know, insights start to narrow. You know, people have very specific things that they want. Some people want like the white kitchen or a three-car garage or four-bedroom homes or whatever it may
all
be.
All the above.
Yeah, right. But Las Vegas is growing by 50,000 to 60,000 people per year.
Wow.
And there's not enough new home construction resulting in shortages, especially at that $350,000 price point and lower. A lot of new rental inventory across the valley. You guys have probably noticed that there's apartments going up all
everywhere.
Over the place, right?
Everywhere.
Yeah. Even in our area, I feel like there's like six new apartment complexes.
Yeah, I mean, if you drive up and down St. Rose, I mean, it's just apartments after apartments
go down
after
to Blue
apartments.
Diamond. Blue
yeah,
Diamond.
Sure. Blue
they're,
Diamond, they're flying
up. Like left and
Rainbow
right.
and Windmill, there's a new apartment complex that they're putting the finishing touches on now. A lot of new rental inventory across the valley, but for those who want to buy, the story remains one of low inventory. So driven down by several issues, experts are projecting a stronger market in 2020 than even last year. So that's big.
That's interesting. I know we've talked to a couple people whose rent is going up this year. You know, I mean, it's not surprising that that's happening considering, you know, it's all about supply and demand.
Right.
But I like that the fact that the city's growing, the economy seems to be strong here, and it's good, you know, after we've been through so many bad times here in Las Vegas.
Just hoping to hang on to it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Just hoping that it doesn't all fall out.
And you know what? I think there a correction could come, but, like, hopefully, you know, Vegas has diversified quite a bit since 2007, so
sure.
Maybe it won't be as detrimental.
Well, Las Vegas kind of got shook yesterday by the firing of Gerard Gallant. There's a lot of people that were pretty upset about it, and understandably so. I mean, you think about a guy that comes in, everything that happened here in Las Vegas, you know, on October 1st a couple of years ago, just tragic. And then, you know, they come in a pretty impossible situation, and he takes the team all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. If things had been different last year, do you think that would have changed things? I mean, it was the Golden Knights' fault for losing after being up 3-1 in that series. But,
right.
You know, controversial call in that game and everything else.
Yeah, 5-minute major was garbage.
If that hadn't happened and they'd gotten a little further in the playoffs, I mean, even with that, it's still pretty preposterous to fire him,
no,
right?
No, it still seems, no matter how you flip it, it still seems entirely reactionary, total knee-jerk to me.
And you know that this has been going on for a while, right? Because there's, like, they had to have been talking to this coach who had been fired from the Sharks and his agent for a long time in order to work out the deal. So behind the scenes, they had been planning to fire him for quite some time. So it's not that loss to the... You know, to the Sabres
last loss, yeah.
is what really caused all of this to go down. So it's just unfortunate.
The firing that happened right now, I think more people would have been accepting of it. I think they would still have been upset because how his record was pretty good. But the midseason, there's nothing good that comes with a midseason coaching change, especially when you're only 3 points, which is less than 2 games out of first place in the West.
I don't know if I fully agree with the midseason coaching change thing. I mean, in hockey, we've actually seen it work for some teams.
Mm.
Look at the Dallas Stars right now, man. They're doing great. They made a change. But they promoted from within. So, I mean, that's different, right? So if you bring a guy up that already knows the system, knows the players, has their trust, etc., as opposed to bringing somebody new in, we'll see. The Golden Knights play tonight.
So are we just going to get rid of a coach every time we have a bad season?
It's not even a full bad
season.
That's what
I'm saying.
Right?
3 points out of first place in the West. Yeah. It is ridiculous what's going on over there, and you know, we'll see.
So
I think it feels like we're starting over from zero right now.
We'll see. They're playing tonight, and it's a good matchup for them tonight. They're actually taking on the Ottawa Senators, who stink. The Raiders PSLs over at Allegiant Stadium have sold out, so it's the 65,000, you know, seat stadium, and these PSLs, they thought were going to bring in like $250 million. They brought in more than $478 million,
Ooh.
According to the latest financial report. There's going to be a whole bunch of suites, a 26,000 square foot field level club, upgraded fixtures and art, upgraded internet connection, and the price for the PSLs range anywhere from $500 to $75,000. A PSL gives the person who purchases a specific seat in the stadium exclusive rights to buy Raiders home game season tickets thereafter.
So imagine spending $75,000.
And then you can still buy tickets.
And then you get just for the right to buy tickets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Raiders, this is why we saw the Raiders go from one of the lowest priced organizations in the NFL to now, I think, what were they, third or second? Like, what was it, like Dallas, New England, and now Oakland, which slash will be Las Vegas?
I thought the Rams rocketed up that list as well. But, I mean, we'll see what, because I haven't seen the figures of how much the Raiders increase. I just know it was by a lot.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so what was the price of the, was it $7,500?
75,000.
They started at 500 for the like and the upper tier.
Yeah, and they went up to 75,000.
Yeah.
And so
huge gap.
With the PSLs, his or her PSL can be revoked and sold to somebody else, but the PSL holders can transfer their seats or sell them to another party, but they are non-refundable by the Raiders. So basically you're saying this is my seat or my seats, and I'm going to be able to do with them what I want, meaning that if the Raiders, you know, come in and they do great, you could hypothetically even make money by selling them to other people, depending on what the game is.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are going to do.
So slot players have, you know, been hitting some pretty big jackpots as of late. This is ridiculous, though. There was somebody that was playing at Excalibur the other day on Sunday, January the 12th. They were playing Wheel of Fortune, and they hit a jackpot. You ready for this? Wheel
How
of
much?
Fortune. $5.4 million at 12:45 a.m. on Sunday.
I'm out.
Yep.
Like, we'll never see Wheel of Fortune hit that big ever again.
No additional information was made available as the guest wanted to remain anonymous.
Smart.
But yeah, almost $5.5 million sitting there playing.
That's more than Wheel of Fortune makes in a year.
Yeah. What do you have to bet in order to get that money?
Like, I mean,
it's just a progressive, right? So yeah. I mean, no more than your standard bet. You're probably $3.
Three. It's either three or 15.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, depending on what it was.
That's wild. I'm done.
So anyway, enjoy work today.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Have you ever been in a really weird Uber or Lyft ride, taxi ride, you know, just any sort of ride-sharing service that you may or may not use? This one from one of our female listeners. She said, I was an Uber driver back in college, and one of my riders was obese and hammered, and he invited me back to his house by tempting me with a game of pool and Bud Light.
I mean, who says no to a game of pool and Bud Light?
Yeah, I assume you guys are married now.
Uh-huh. Three healthy, happy kids.
Yeah. Can you imagine being an attractive female Uber or Lyft driver? Like, how difficult that must be?
Or great. Massive tips.
Do you think you're getting massive tips? No, I don't think so. I think most people are cheapskates.
Well, see, I also think that people just do it drunk, so they probably just don't even remember.
As a bartender, at least there's like a physical bar there, and there's like bouncers around. So, like, there's a level of respect that you have to have for the bartender, first off, because they have access to all the booze. But also, you know, like, you're not going to do anything overtly creepy. But there's something about being in somebody's car, which I don't even like. Like, it just feels...
Sometimes it feels icky.
It feels so, like personal.
You're in there. There's not much filtration.
Right.
You're just breathing their hot air. They've just been sitting in their car for hours.
Barron said, when I was stationed in South Korea, we had a curfew of 1 a.m. Few of us were in town, lost track of time, having some drinks. About 12:45, and it was 20 minutes back to the base. Well, we all stuffed our butts into the back of a cab. And my buddy said, watch this. And he said, bali, bali, to the driver. And this dude starts going 80 through town, blowing red lights, driving on the damn sidewalk. I about had a heart attack. Good news is we made it back to the base with 5 minutes to spare. Success.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So the wildest Uber, Lyft, taxi ride that you've ever been on, whether you're driving or you're a passenger, what is it for you? Mahoney, I've told you that story about when I was down in Rio de Janeiro before, right?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story, Audrey?
I feel like maybe.
So we were down in Rio, and it was because we were doing a UFC event down there. And don't get me wrong, like, Rio's beautiful. It is sketchy. Like, they had armed guards with machine guns outside of our hotel.
Terrifying.
Because it's that sketchy.
Okay.
But we finished the event at the arena, which is probably a good 20, maybe 30 minutes away from where our hotel is, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. But by the time that we got done with the event, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is when we were traveling with the UFC, going to the events, because we did the pre-show for them, but we'd also cover the post-fight press conference and everything else. And so by the time that was over, it was about 3 a.m. local time, because Rio de Janeiro is actually an hour later than even Eastern time is. And so it was like kind of the middle of the night. And we walk out and all of the shuttles were already gone that took, you know, the fighters and everyone else back to the hotel. And so we're just like, oh, there's a couple of taxis out here. And we got in this little rinky-dinky yellow, very old Toyota, you know, that was kind of shook when it was running.
Barely hanging onto the wheels.
The headlights looked sick, like yellow as well. Like where they were, wasn't like a real headlight. It was just sort of this weird glow, like a night light sort of thing. And we're driving through town, and like this driver will come up to these red lights in the middle of town, and he'll just blow through them. And there's also like giant city buses that are crossing some of these roads as we're coming up to him, and he'll slow down enough but not stop at the red light, just wait for these buses to go through and then jam it again. And we're like, what is going on with this guy? And luckily, one of the people that we were with speaks Portuguese, which is the native tongue down in Brazil. And they asked him what was going on. He's like, you don't stop at red lights at night in Rio because they'll get you. I don't know exactly who they were, but again, very dangerous down in Rio, especially 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. And you know, I guess having the gringos in the car made it even more of a target. So I'm like, well, this is neat.
Fantastic.
Luckily, we made it back. Unfortunately, when we got back, the hotel bar was closed.
You probably needed a drink after that.
Yes.
You would think Rio would be like a 24-hour
town.
I was waiting for an Uber. This was in Chicago. This was a few years ago. We were visiting a conference, and usually when we go to these things, we go do our conference stuff. All that stuff happens during the day, and then at night we meet up with all of our friends and have some drinks. We all had a lot of drinks that evening, and I was incredibly hungry, so I decided to try to find a place to eat. And this is kind of pre-Postmates. I wasn't using it, so I didn't even think about that. There was what they called the Rock and Roll McDonald's, which was pretty close to our hotel. But like, it was like probably 6 or 7 blocks. I walked there.
But you were hammered and you wanted to get some chicken nuggets.
Yeah, so I get there, I get my chicken nuggets, and I'm walking out, and I'm waiting for an Uber to get me back to the hotel. Because even though it's only 7 blocks, I'm drunk. It's 3 in the morning.
Well, you can't be walking with all your chicken nuggets. They're going to get cold. It's a little chilly outside.
As I'm waiting on the corner, a working gal starts to proposition me, and I'm like, no, I'm good. And then like the Uber pulls up right at the same time, and he starts yelling at her to get away from the car. She's like, what, you can't even give me a chicken McNugget? I'm like, nah, man, this is a 6-piece.
If you got the 20-piece, you're like, flip one out the window or something. Yeah.
But I'm not, if I've only got six.
Yeah, you were drunk and only ordered a 6-piece?
Well,
I'm disappointed.
No. Yeah. Only a 6-piece nugget. I had like a double quarter pounder and like a Filet-O-Fish.
Filet-O-Fish.
You know you're drunk when you're ordering a Filet-O-Fish.
Give her the Filet-O-Fish. Come on, man.
Corey said, took a shared Uber one night, and we had to stop by a house to pick up a girl because that's what happens when you take a shared Uber.
Of course.
And when we pulled up, she said, thank God you guys are here. That guy is super weird. He asked me if I like saxophone, and I said no. And so he went and grabbed his saxophone and started playing. And then sure enough, I look up at the doorway of the house, and there's a guy standing there with a saxophone. 1 week later, I'm taking another shared Uber, and we stop by the same house, same guy, different girl. And what you tell was their first date. I hope she likes saxophones. This one from Brianna said, I was in an Uber with my friend, and we were going out for the night, and our driver was having a hard time merging into the turn lane. So I yelled, I will take my pants off and moon these MFers if they don't let us get into the next lane. Prior to that, he was telling us how he manages women and how it brings in extra money.
No.
His speech pattern was erratic. I'm pretty sure there's some bodies buried in his backyard.
So I'm thinking about this saxophone ordeal because that's pretty creepy, right?
Unless you're Bill.
But you know what her... You know what her response should have been? I don't have sex on the first date.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on
X107.5. You have been firing off these.
It only took me an extra 35 seconds.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So the strangest Uber ride you've ever had, the strangest Lyft ride that you've ever had, and or the strangest ride that you've ever given if you're a driver.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we got a text here from Julio. He said, I've been a rideshare driver for 3 years. I've had a few wild rides, but this one stands out as the most with a shared ride. I picked up 3 separate rides. The first 2 were single guys from downtown. The third was a female at a peep show place that is now closed. The young girl was Hispanic, kind of heavyset. Starts asking all questions about what they do for a living. Obviously, I live here since I'm the driver, but she opened up that she was some sort of entertainer after the guys inquired as to what she did for work. And, of course, she goes on. They say, well, where do you work? And she goes, I work wherever I was picked up, and I use props. Some guy asks, what kinds of props? And I start laughing because we all know what she meant. And she proceeds to pull a giant purple out of her bag.
Barney?
And, yeah. I start laughing because we all know exactly what this means. She slaps both the riders in the face with it. The younger one said, hell no, that's blank and gross, and jumps out of the car at the light, said, thanks, I'll walk. The other guy was invited to stay at her weekly. Not sure if he ever went. I dropped them both off at his place.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I'm just not at a point in my life where I am going to get into the back seat of a Toyota Corolla with a stranger and be driven
around.
No,
I am not a shared
that
driver.
That is like, I will pay the extra $5.
Yeah, it's $5. Yeah.
It's fine. I take shared rides all the time.
Really?
Actually, well, yeah, because I still don't have a car, so I take ride shares every single day. The worst thing that happened was I was propositioned the other day by one of the other passengers in the car.
It was a dude, right?
It was a dude.
100%.
How much did he offer you?
No. It was the subtle clues that we've all had at like the Home Depots and everything like that. It's where the subtle touching of the thigh, the staring
started,
a little bit too long.
He started touching your thigh and staring.
Well, with his thigh. So he sat really close to me. So that's when I put my backpack up as kind of my comfort backpack, and he kind of put his hand by his leg and it grazed mine, and I could tell he wanted some attention.
And you didn't fight him?
No, why would I fight? Why would I resort to violence? It's a compliment. I'm not going to go home with the guy. I got things to do. But that's the word. But shared driver, it's shared. It's fine.
No.
It's fine. And it's a community.
Nope.
You just sold me to not ever ride share ever.
100%. Never. Never.
This one, I'm a driver, got a ride from Bally's with four beautiful women all dressed up in evening gowns, heels, hair all dead. Tried to start the ride sharing app, and I was having issues, so I asked him where they were headed, and the lady in the front seat said, we're going to Mandalay Bay, in the deepest, manliest voice possible. Turns out four drag queens.
Hell yeah.
Just a little surprised.
I'm going to brunch on Saturday. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. That's fun.
I had an Uber driver one time start playing harmonica. I've had a couple of musical moments in different Uber rides. For whatever reason, remember the audio I played you yesterday with Matt?
Yeah.
Matt and I always have the craziest Uber rides together. So one guy just started playing harmonica
out of
nowhere.
Did he ask, or did he just start playing the harmonica? Well, did he turn down the radio and then start busting out some job
poppers? We were kind of in a little bit of a traffic jam, and this was when we were down in Los Angeles. And then sure enough, he just starts playing some harmonica, and we're like... And then he kind of looks in the rearview mirror for our approval, and we're like, that sounds fantastic, sir. And then he just starts rocking out.
I don't think anybody's ever mad at a good harmonica player. A bad harmonica player, that could definitely like grate on the ears and would make you're sitting in traffic even worse. But a guy who's got the sweet sounds of John Popper flowing through that beautiful musical instrument. Ow! There is not enough harmonica in music today.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. Here comes.
Damn! You remember what he was playing?
Owner.
What song?
Yeah.
No, I don't. There was another time that I had an Uber driver, and this was when we were in California as well, but it was up in Napa, and there was a guy that picked us up in a minivan. It was a group of us, and he was like, we're like, hey, how long have you lived up here? And we're asking him for some recommendations on, vineyards to go to and stuff, because we didn't really know anything about the area. And he's like, well, yeah, I play at some of the vineyards. I'm like, you play, do you? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a musician. We're like, oh, that's cool. He's like, would you like to hear it? And for the entire 25-minute Uber ride, he sat there and played his own CD that wasn't quite mastered yet. It wasn't quite done. It was almost done.
It's a demo. Work in progress, Dave.
But he sang along with himself. So it was like a karaoke version.
Oh,
but
no.
He was awful. It was great.
Still to come today with David Mahoney.
I mean, that's why he's got to have a side hustle.
He's got
the side hustle
yeah.
time.
Son of love it, mother. It's bleeped. Bull.
Noelle is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Noelle? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Do you have a dirty mind?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, why not? So here's how this game works. I've got three clips for you. You got to get two out of the three right, and nothing that's being said in any of these clips is dirty whatsoever, but there's some strategically placed bleeps that make it a little bit difficult to figure out what's being talked about, so having a dirty mind can sometimes distract you a little bit. Again, nothing dirty is being said. I'm going to give you the setup. I'll play you the clip, and then I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be, and if you want to hear the clip a second time, no problem. I'll play it back for you, okay? All right, so here we go. Number one is Steve Harvey, and you're trying to figure out who Steve Harvey is talking about.
I just f*** up the
Yeah, right.
You know, you just got to keep f***ing up the I'm happy for her, yeah. You know. Somebody, one of my friends said, man, that's really big of you to somebody who replaced your show. I said, no, nah, he said, so you watch. I said, man, I ain't that happy.
So Steve Harvey is talking about A, Ellen, B, Wendy Williams, or C, Kelly Clarkson.
Did Kelly Clarkson just have a show out? Mm-hmm. That, okay, that one.
Kelly Clarkson, yeah, that's right.
Wow. Well, she replaced Steve Harvey?
I did not know that fact.
Good.
Yeah.
She's much better than Steve Harvey.
Clip number two, and you can actually win it right here if you get this one correct, Noelle. This is Mahoney, and you're trying to figure out what he is talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, so good luck with this one.
I feel like I would any you know, that didn't have like a 5 foot.
Yeah, they don't have huge to be okay.
Yeah, like I could at least 38 naked. I would just them. Why?
Jesus, man. So what?
Jesus, Mahoney.
I had a little too much to drink.
So what is he talking about? A, fighting people, B, fighting birds, or C, fighting pandas for the win. You want to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I feel like I would any, you know, that didn't have like a 5 foot.
Yeah, they don't have huge to be okay.
Yeah, like I could at least 38 naked. I would just them.
You're an animal.
You are. They're animals.
So is he talking about fighting people, fighting birds, or fighting pandas for the win?
I'm going to go with my gut because birds are evil and say it's fighting birds.
You nailed it. Well done.
That a girl, Noelle.
Pigeons are cool, though. Don't worry.
Kitchy and slipping in some pigeon propaganda right there.
Yeah, cool. All cool. Birds are gross.
No, they're not. They're flying rats.
African gray parrots suck, though.
Congratulations to you, Noelle.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
Yesterday, we were talking about how Antonio Brown has successfully totally tanked his career in a very short amount of time, despite the fact that things were going so well for him when he was just, you know, out there playing football. Now things maybe not so much. Jussie Smollett would be another one that has very successfully tanked his career in a short amount of time. He's the guy, had a pretty successful acting career going on, had a major show on a major network, everything else. Now he is making things worse for himself again. If he had just pleaded guilty to some minor charges, done 90 days of community service, and paid a fine to the Chicago police, everything would probably be fine at this point, right?
He did anything
and that's
wrong?
Getting off very easy for what he did.
Absolutely,
he was willing to put two people completely innocent behind bars for a crime that they did not commit because he wanted to further his career by getting sympathy.
Right.
And that is disgusting.
And then, even after the fact, it comes out that he had been lying about all this stuff and paying those guys to pose as the dudes that were the attackers and everything else. He still doubled down and said, no, I'm a victim here. I'm the one that was attacked, all this stuff. And now they're going after not just him, but also the state's attorney or state's district attorney, Kim Fox, which dropped the charges against him. So now she's on the hook as well. And they're saying they don't know fully yet what is going to happen to both him as well as Fox. But it looks like it's going to get really bad. And they are going to throw the book at him there in Chicago.
They should look into her, too, because the fact that she was able to, she thought that she was going to, or the fact that she dropped these charges when it was so clear, the video evidence from anybody with half a brain could see that this guy was guilty and that she's like, nah, I'm going to let this go. There was definitely some behind the, backroom stuff happening there for whatever political reason it may be, but it was dirty and, like, a guy who's willing to send innocent people to jail should not be out on the streets.
A Chicago judge just approved a special prosecutor request for search warrants to obtain both Smollett and his managers, not just emails, but also drafted and deleted messages, any files in their Google Drive cloud storage services, any Google voice text, calls, and contacts, search and web browsing history, and location data.
Good.
See you later, man. I hope that book hit you hard.
So this guy's name is Justin, and he went by Justin Chapman. He was referred to as Dog the Bounty Hunter's nephew on TV. Well, he got paid a visit by the cops on Sunday in Edgewater, Colorado, where police say he was in violation of a court order to lay off booze and drugs. Dog's own flesh and blood, Lissa, his daughter, tipped the local police off to Justin's alleged bad behavior. This according to the arrest report. The cops checked it out. Sure enough, he was on probation, so they went to his place to see what was up. The responding officer says the guy reeked of booze, and there were signs of marijuana in the house as well. The cops called Justin, Justin called Dwayne on the phone, who apparently tried calming him down. So he called Dog the Bounty Hunter, and that didn't actually help at all. And as for why Dog's daughter tipped the cops off in the first place, don't really know. Just says that she felt compelled to report it. So there's also rumors that I think this is what it really is. So there's rumors that Dog is actually dating this guy's mom, that family friend. So you remember that moon chick.
And so now
the daughter is ratting out the new girlfriend's son, which is pretty dirty.
I don't really have any affinity for Dog because Dog's kind of a dirtbag. You know, some of the stuff that he's done in the past.
Dirty old dog.
I don't take any issue with, like, if your significant other has passed.
It's sad. It's tragic.
Sad, but he wants to move on, and he's still alive. So we live for the living. We don't live for people who are no longer here.
But I mean,
and that his daughter's, like, trying to, like, blow up his relationship and blow up this other guy. Oh, my God, he had booze and marijuana. Oh! Yeah. You know, like, you're calling 911 and the police. It's a waste of resources.
It is.
When there's real crimes and stuff happening out there and real emergencies. Marijuana is not an emergency. I'm sorry.
So Canada's biggest newspaper put out an article saying that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are not welcome there.
Shut up.
They don't want these two using Canada as their halfway house between here and, you know, between the UK and Los Angeles. So the whole story is that Meghan Markle hates President Trump and so doesn't want to move back to the United States until he is out of office. And so they're going to move to Canada and yada, yada. This whole thing is just exhausting to me. I see it everywhere and I just could not care less about it.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're going to stop participating in family functions. Like, who hasn't done that before?
Also, how...
Oh, family reunion? Ah, busy that weekend.
Yeah. How annoying is it, though, too, that they just... Well, they have the resources and the ability to be just like, you know what, I want to move here, and then I guess let's go here next, but only if the circumstances allow it to fit my personal beliefs and my behaviors. Like, it just feels so pompous and entitled.
All of it is exhausting.
Yes.
In every way. All the people that have these big reactions, like Canada's mad that, you know, they're going to come stay there, you're like, why?
Well, I mean,
when has Canada ever been mad about anything?
Yeah, I mean, they are the UK's bitch.
I mean, that's true.
That is true. The Queen's on their money.
She doesn't even go there.
She don't give a damn. Too cold.
Yeah. So, Canada, I guess, you know,
whatever.
Again, causing a bit of a scene. And Mahoney, I know that you're a big fan of Star Trek, or at least have been over the years.
Huge fan.
Have you seen the new Picard?
So it hasn't debuted yet on CBS All Access, but
it's coming up January 23rd, so next week.
The previews for it leading up to it, it looks like it's bringing back everybody from the Next Generation, which, in my opinion, is the greatest and best Star Trek of them all.
No question about it. And it's already been renewed for season two, even though it hasn't debuted yet. So they're saying that this is going to be a real breakout for the Star Trek series, considering it's been a long time since there's been a hit out of the Star Trek realm outside of those movies by J.J. Abrams.
There's another Star Trek series on CBS All Access. I've watched a couple episodes. I just never could get into it. But the Next Generation, Picard, Riker, Deanna Troi, Data, it looks all of them have like kind of popped up in trailers and stuff like that.
So Patrick Stewart's actually in this?
Yeah, he's Picard.
I know, but I mean, like
what do you think? They're like gonna call it Picard, and he's not gonna be there.
I don't know. I mean, I just figured that he would be too busy to do a show for CBS All Access.
Dude, it's Trek show.
I can see number one being available.
He's making millions of dollars, and I mean, I know Jonathan Franks who played number one. You know those Ripley, Believe It or Not.
That's right. Got to get those
dried up a little.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.
I'm excited, though.
I've never seen a second.
You're missing out.
Am I, though?
You've never seen The Next Generation?
No.
Man, that was the show back in the day.
Was it, though?
It was.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I was trying to be quiet. I was trying to be courteous with my pooping. And all these people come in and making all this noise. So it changed me.
Message deleted.
Ugh. I assume, hopefully, that's at work or some public place.
There is nothing worse, though, when you are, you know, you're taking care of some business and it's quiet and it's kind of peaceful, even if you are at work or at school or wherever. And then people come in and they're just loud and obnoxious while you're in there.
I went to the restroom the other day and somebody was pulling something that I'd never witnessed. Well, I guess I wasn't really witnessing it from two stalls over before. They were watching like a whole show on their phone, loud, no headphones, nothing. Like I could hear the whole Ozark show. That they were
it was
watching.
Ozark?
Like something like that. It was drama, really? Drama? Suspense.
if you're going to do that, pull out your earbuds.
It makes me feel like, though, that they were just like, I mean, it was just like hard, like water splash.
So Audrey and I do this TV show on Sunday mornings, right? And mm-hmm. So it's down at this casino, and like we'll go down there before a couple hours. I'll get there a couple hours before the show just to finish the prep and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll go change in the bathroom at the casino. They're like, you know, casino bathrooms are pretty awesome, right? Like they're big and spacious and nice and well-kept and everything
else.
Wide
stalls.
Yeah, wide stalls, all that stuff. But I'll go in there just to like throw on my shirt and my jacket in order to get ready for the show before. And every single Sunday morning, at 8:15, for whatever reason, there is some dude that has opened the gates to hell in the stall next to me. I'm like, how is this possible that every Sunday there is somebody just power bombing the toilet next
to me?
It's
the dads.
But it's 8:15 on a Sunday. Like
he's still been up, man. He's been up from the Saturday.
Do you think
night
it's
before.
The same guy every week?
He's just
he follows me in there. He's like, I'm gonna ruin this guy's day.
Because you feel so like if you're taking your shirt off, you're putting on your
you feel so
exposed.
Vulnerable and yeah, like you're like your particles
going
are on
into
my
the fabrics.
Yeah.
Something from osmosis is gonna happen. It's not good.
Right. Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, we know he's a gamer, so. What are some things you guys like to do that you don't really normally talk about on air?
Message deleted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty big, I love gaming. I love, you know, I've thought about starting like a Twitch channel, but I'm like, I don't really.
You should.
But no, then I'm
like,
you should not.
But I'm like, there's no point
you
in it because I don't want to talk
no,
to other people.
You should not.
It would be amazing.
No,
him just like talking smack to all these like 13-year-olds.
No, I don't play online games though. I do like, I play like, I don't do like Call of Duty or Fortnite. I do like games that are, you know, like role-playing
games,
RPGs. You know, some shooters like Borderlands 3, but I don't want to have to like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like doing radio for so long, you feel like, you know, we have a purpose of what we're talking about and we know what we're going to talk about. Whereas if I'm just playing a game, like the stream of thought consciousness, nobody needs to be subjected to that for like 3 hours while I'm, you know, grinding out, trying to farm a boss.
Farm a boss.
Audrey, is there anything that you do?
I feel like
hobbies of yours
open.
That you don't talk about
no,
on the radio?
I don't really have hobbies. Like I really just generally really like sleep.
Ian,
Ian,
what about you, man? Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some stuff that you don't talk about.
No, I think I'm an open book on this show.
Same.
I was collecting dead animals for a while, but then I ran out of money. So that's my hobby now, being broke.
Were you thinking about starting like learning how to taxidermy?
No, but my old roommate actually does that. She lives in Nashville now. So what I wanted to do originally was to buy these animals and then ship them to her, have them stuffed out there and then sent back to kind of help with her business.
I've never said this to you before, but I'm glad you're broke.
Why?
Because
it's a great hobby.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Who says that, Dave?
Who mails dead animals?
Who says that?
Who mails dead
glad
animals?
Glad you're broke. Horrible.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So, not too long ago, you were in college. You still have some of that debt hanging around?
Actually, no.
You paid it all off. Good for you.
I am very fortunate, yes. I have no student loans.
That's amazing. So a lot of people obviously struggle with how to pay for college because it's super expensive. And you're friends with a bunch of skeezy chicks. Did any of you? I'm just kidding.
I mean, you're not too far off.
Dave, it's not just skeezy chicks. It's skeezy dudes as well. They're sugar mamas who are ponying up.
No, for sure. But so, I mean, the thing is that with women nowadays and specifically girls nowadays that are in college, et cetera, there's ways to make a lot of money by doing the OnlyFans stuff, by having sugar daddies,
you don't
all
even
that.
Have to show your face anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's just you can just, you know, be anonymous or whatever, and you can make a whole bunch of money. So do you have honestly any friends that have done anything like that? That you're aware of?
Like the OnlyFans pages or just like sold pictures.
Sold
for
pictures
money?
Or like the sugar daddy OnlyFans, websites.
No, actually, I'm No, I don't know anybody who's done sugar daddies who always tease about them wanting them, but it's a joke. It's not real, just to pay off bills. But no, they've sold like $10 or whatever for like a foot pick or something.
So but, I mean, nice. But that's where it scales up, right? Yeah. Like you start with like, I'll just put a harmless foot picture out there.
I feel like a foot
for
pick
10
should
bucks
be like be at least 50. I feel like that's specialized content.
But that's what I mean is that it starts kind of as a joke. Then you're like, oh, I can actually make some real money at this. And then I'll send a picture of my butt, and then you know all of a sudden you get $100 for that.
I do know a girl who Snowball did effect. Full like amateur whatever like porn.
Yeah.
$10,000.
Yep. Wow. So there's a buddy of ours that we just saw his ex-girlfriend has one of those pages.
Yep.
And it is like full on like,
well, whoa. What of your...
Yeah, like $30 for like entry to just see everything. I feel like that you got to do
not
the
even.
Tier.
It's like $12.
So
like,
you got to do the tier.
Years ago, geez. Dave and I were, we went out for my birthday. This is how you know how many years ago. We went to like this club, Rain, which was over at the Palms.
Oh, man.
You remember that place?
Yeah, that had to have been what, like... 12 years ago, somewhere
along
there,
that. And Dave had a friend visiting from South Carolina who brought his girlfriend, who happened to have the same birthday as me.
Right, yeah, celebrating two birthdays at the same time. Yeah,
and you know, like he
and
was
we went
cool
out to like a dinner beforehand and just like sitting there like shooting the breeze or whatever.
Very pretty girl, yeah. You know, cool. He was cool. You know, we all had a great time. And then I would say fast forward like 3 months later, I'm perusing the old interwebs.
Oh,
and you're like, oh, there she is. Well, to be fair, like this guy that I knew, he worked at the same radio station that I did back on the East Coast a long time ago in South Carolina. And he also worked at the strip club. And so she's a really pretty girl. And you're like, but like she must have been like one of the dancers, which she was. Mm-hmm. And then she got into the adult industry and boy, did she ever.
Yeah. And I remember just like one day going like, like sending it to Dave. I'm like, hey, is this
some people have no problem with
No, I mean, but I like if you're going to do it, I feel like go for it. But like one and done, I feel like then it feels like shameful, right?
Yeah.
You think?
I feel like that's how it feels. Like even though like you're right, $10,000 is
that's a whole lot of money. 2 semesters of college.
That's
well,
right.
So this brings us back to our story. Sugar Baby Universities currently says it has 8.7 million female sugar babies and 3.2 million male sugar daddies. So there's a lot of people out there that are going to the internet and they're being sugar babies for these sugar daddies and vice versa, sugar babies for sugar mamas. So dudes for older ladies. Mm-hmm. And they're just sitting here paying their tuition for them in exchange for attention, pictures, sometimes a lot more than that.
Sometimes it's like next to nothing.
Sometimes
like,
it's next
to
nothing.
Really just like text me, call me, just give me some type
that's
of attention
so
and I'll pay for your like dinner, your rent, like any of that.
I mean, is it sad? It's just a transaction.
Well,
like,
no,
who cares?
I mean, good on them. But like, God, like if you're so lonely that's you're having to pay for just like a basic human interaction, that makes me sad. It does.
Why don't you go hang out with them then? Why don't you be
no, he's a creep. He's trying to pick up young. He's 50 years old, and he's trying to hang out with 21-year-olds. Nah, man, I don't want to hang out with that
guy. Yeah, who do you think you are? Leonardo DiCaprio? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's only 47.
Yeah.
And
is
they're,
he?
And they're 24.
No,
I think
22
that any woman on the planet would probably say hello to Leo.
What point does it get creepy for him?
That's what I'm saying.
No,
what point? It's already creepy. If you're 47 in normal... everyday average Joe life. Yeah. If you're 47 and you're dating a 22-year-old, it is creepy.
Yes.
If you're Leonardo DiCaprio, it's not creepy.
I feel
because
like it is creepy, though.
Nope.
No?
No.
Not even a little bit.
It is. It is creepy. I would still say hello.
The oldest celebrity that you're attracted to.
Oh, maybe like George Clooney, because what, he's like 60-something? Like he's like 63?
Is he 60?
He's got to be 50. I don't think Clooney's in the 60s.
Yeah,
he?
I think he's like 63.
Clooney is 58.
Yeah,
he looks 63.
So you're 28, 58, 30-year gap right there.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a good looking dude.
Sure he is.
I would be Martha Stewart's like sugar bunny or whatever they
sugar call
sugar bunny. A whole new level.
You little sugar bunny.
Whatever should actually make it. You hop around. Whatever, Easter bunny outfit. Whatever floats your boat better.
What she could do with a pine cone, don't you even worry.
Looking for love is complicated. We know that. How about this? There's a matchmaking service called It's Just Lunch. And this lady, whose name is Sherry Ferrara, she was paying a gentleman, they're paying the service $450 a date to hook her up with guys that she thought were supposedly good matches for her. And it turns out that it's all garbage. She ended up spending $2,800 on this membership, saying that the It's Just Lunch didn't meet their promised services. Have you guys seen this? Like, they advertise it in like magazines on airplanes and stuff.
Because by concept, it seems like really nice because lunch, there's nothing tied to lunch. It's in the daylight, very casual. Love a good lunch first date.
So they have 10 Florida offices, and the Tampa office has a C rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're saying, look, it's just it's like this garbage dating concierge where they do a good job of marketing, but their actual service is trash, is what she's saying. And so she's suing them and trying to get her money back.
So you have to pay them for the lunch date? You don't pay for the service itself?
The whole service is them vetting people that they think are going to be a great match. But you think if you're ponying up $2,800, basically $450 a date, they actually might want to do some work there.
Yeah.
You know, do some due diligence, figure out if this person will be a good match based on, their exclusive pool of people that are on this dating platform and everything else. She says it's trash, and so she's suing to get that money back. And so far, they haven't returned the money, which is unfortunate for them because they're getting a whole lot of bad attention out of it.
Well, but I mean, people should know if this is what is coming out of that service, then people need to know that, like, because if you're spending that kind of money, you expect, I mean, top-notch service.
Right.
Yeah, it's not $1 million matchmaker where, it's a billion.
Even that's garbage.
Yeah, that is garbage, too. But that's more expensive. But for, like, the average human being out there, like, trying to find a date, $450 a date is steep.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
That's an expensive lunch.
Finally, a Kansas man has asked an Iowa judge to let him engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife and battle to the death.
Wait, why is it samurai music?
I was going to say,
it shouldn't be like medieval. Like, yeah, like, we should have, like, bagpipes and drums.
The ninja flute works perfectly.
Get to the story.
Samurais have swords as well.
Yeah.
You don't talk about
Japanese sword. You're talking about
Japanese
sword.
With a samurai sword?
Sure,
like
you do.
Like, a duel is, like, with a broad
sword.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Mahoney.
That's right.
Well, then talk to this guy. Don't talk to the sound effects, man. This is the guy who wants Japanese swords.
There we go.
To the rescue. That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah, so this guy, I don't think the judge is going to allow it, shockingly, said in the January 3rd court filing that his former wife, who is only 38 years old, this guy's only 40. I mean, this seems like the sort of thing that a 96-year-old would ask for a judge. But no, this is a 40-year-old and a 38-year-old. She's saying that the family has been destroyed thanks to her. She's saying, no, he destroyed the family, and there's, a big battle going on over custody and visitation issues and everything else. And so he formally asked the judge for a sword fight with his ex-wife so they can render their souls from their bodies.
Render.
So, if I'm the judge, who are you going to believe in this one? The woman who's saying that this guy's the problem, or the guy asking to murder his wife with a pot shop samurai sword that he bought?
One additional detail here. He asked the judge for 12 weeks' time so he could secure proper Japanese samurai swords. Yeah! Look out!
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
He's done a great dishonor to this family.
Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Here is today's question for another show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
She's like, what, you can't even give me a chicken McNugget? I'm like, nah, man, this is a... piece.
If you got in the 20 piece, you're like,
maybe,
flip one out the window,
maybe,
or something. Yeah,
but I'm not. If I've only got,
you were drunk and only ordered a piece.
Well,
I'm disappointed.
No. Only a piece nugget.
So Mahoney was talking about one of his adventures in Chicago where he, maybe had a couple of drinks.
I was overserved.
Yeah, not your fault.
You were overserved.
I was overserved.
Yeah, and you went to Rock and Roll McDonald's,
which is gone now.
It's gone now.
R.I.P.
Yeah. They had to shut it down after you bought them out of chicken nuggets. But it surprised us how few chicken nuggets that you got. What is the amount of chicken nuggets that Mahoney purchased while he is being propositioned by a working girl?
I'm still disappointed because you could have gotten the larger amount. Like, you could have gotten, like, the party pack.
I could have. Could have.
And just saved him for later.
And I could have shared with her.
Shared, yeah.
Could have shared, but she...
Even given her your fish fillet.
No.
No.
Nah, I got, you know, I was very hungry that evening. The best part, I remember waking up in the hotel the next morning and looking down and going, what the hell did I buy?
What have I done?
And it's just like, there's like a half-eaten double quarter pounder, just like, oh.
So tickets to go see Floor over at Top Golf Friday, February 7th. They are coming to Las Vegas. First person in with the correct answer wins. X107.5, good morning. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe, what is the correct answer? How many?
Six pieces.
Six piece is correct. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna
ever keep you down. You're the best around. The real question is, Joe, which is the best McNugget sauce?
Oh, it's got to be sweet and sour.
This man knows. Give this man everything. Everything. Whatever we got, give it to him.
He gets the last prize that we have, which is exactly what I just told him he won. Yeah, so congratulations to you.
I feel like you should give him everything.
Dude. Shut up, honey.
Everything.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.